word picture of shifts or shifting, and how do you do that? How do you bring focus to an area in such a way that it doesn't miscommunicate that you're de-emphasizing other areas, you know, in that spirit? And so if I can, we'll take as little or as much time as is needed, but it just, if nothing else, for a sense of personal satisfaction that I think I said all that Danny and I discussed, I skipped around a bit, but just going back for a moment to last night before we broke off to dinner, we really believe, and this is bigger than Reformed Charismatic, this is anything, the more of our leaders are, the more of us who are in sync, together, on the same page, the further we can spread word and vision throughout the church, the more it can be caught by others. That's true of anything. You know, your personal passion for the church, your passion for community group, your passion for service, the more we are together in that, the more it spreads. And that's really the spirit of this. But last night, as I got into that shift talk, there were just a few things that I thought, you know, they really crystallized the point of this. You have them in your notes, but I wanted to come back to it, and it's sort of under this banner of charity. And by charity, I mean, if you talk to the people coming into Metro, new people, first-time visitors, others, they come from all walks of life. They do. They're in different places. They come from different churches, or they've come from no churches. And for most of them, their starting question is really nothing to do with Reformed Charismatic. It's usually not their first question. Occasionally it is. And that's how some have found us, through Google. I think if you Google Reformed Charismatic Castleberry, we might be the only church that pops up, right? Albert, that's how he got here. That's Googled us, and that's where he was led to come. But J.D. Greer, I think he's a gift to the body of Christ in this slice of Christendom right now. And I don't assume, as I said yesterday, we're all as attentive to what's going on out there. It's a small bubble, but it's an influential bubble. And I think J.D. Greer is a really charitable, helpful voice, and he captures our hearts. And when I say our, I include Danny, all the elders. He says there at the bottom of page 4, the point of gospel-centeredness is not the shrewd ability to critique others. The point of gospel-centeredness is to adore God and worship His grace. Many of us who love to talk about gospel-centeredness seem to possess very little of the humility that should go along with it. One of my fears in writing this book is that it might contribute to a growing self-righteousness among younger theologians who feel like understanding gospel-centeredness makes them more special in the eyes of God. Oh, the irony! Than those who can't articulate it and who judge everyone else by whether or not they use the same terms that they do. And so I think he's right. And our hope is that what anybody coming into Metro picks up from us is both humility and charity. That you're welcome here. You're welcome at Metro Life Church. Now, I said this yesterday, that doesn't mean leadership is open to just anybody who comes. No, there's a foundation that needs to be shared and built upon. But just to know that person coming in, they're coming in for a variety of reasons, and we want them to feel loved. We want them to feel welcome. And Philippians 3:15, just on a personal level, this would be the verse that captures all this for me. Paul lays out gospel doctrine in Philippians 1, 2, in the first half of chapter 3. And he's writing to a church that loves him, and they've got a great relationship, but not everybody in Philippi is of the same understanding. And in Philippians 3:15, he says, "Now, let those of us who are mature think this way. But if in any way you otherwise think different, God will reveal that also to you." And what I love about that is the dual nature of leaders are called to lead and equip and teach and instruct, but then entrust people to God. Paul didn't tell them, "Now, if you think different, you got to go." He said, "No. God will reveal that also to you." And so we leave room for God, right? We just leave room for God, for people to come along and grow in their understanding. We're not looking for a certain lingo, that everybody can use the same lingo, but that we're all looking to the same Jesus and amazed at his grace. And I just so it's clear, because I put it in your notes, I don't want it to be confusing. Here's an example of what I mean. You know, I read these critiques online of the Hillsong, "What a Beautiful Name." I love that song. What a beautiful name, Jesus. And there's a line in the song, if I'm quoting it right, "You didn't want heaven without us." You didn't want heaven without us. And that's the line that led to the critique. And their critique really has to do with the self-sufficiency of God. As if God needs any of us in heaven. Is God self-sufficient? Are the critiquers right? Yes, they're right. God is self-sufficient. God is happy in himself. He didn't save me so he would get happy. I understand that. I think the sorrow in that, though, is I think we know in charity what the writer of the song means. You didn't want heaven without us. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe might not perish but have eternal life. If I go, I go to prepare a place for you. And there's many rooms in my Father's house. You didn't want heaven without us. Oh, yeah. Now, could they have worded it maybe a little? Sure. But to critique and destroy one person in the body, attacking, and not even the courtesy to do it in person, but through social media. And it doesn't seem to go the other way at times. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die for me? God didn't die. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? The Sovereign has never died. But I know what they mean. I know what they're saying and not saying. They're amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, yes, they're referring to Jesus, but maybe they could have said it a little different so that God the Son in the Trinity was what was clear in the song. But by not doing that, somebody could misunderstand. Wait, God never changes. God's eternal. How did God die? Do you get where I'm going with that? Like, we could start to just tear to shreds something and miss the heart. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. There are songs we don't do because theologically they don't do. But there's the other side of this. The charity that comes alongside and sees the beauty and the contribution that others are making in the body of Christ. So I just share that to say, again, some things could seem a shift. We haven't shifted. I'm a student of RTS, Reformed Theological Seminary, for a reason. But I want to be a learner in the body of Christ. Yes. The whole body of Christ. There's maturation in the body of Christ. There's things that we hold dear now that maybe when we were younger we didn't yet. And we leave room for that in the body. of Christ. And through relationship and friendship, we get to influence and we get to be influenced. So we're not after a couple key phrases or words. We are after that heart that recognizes this side of glory, no one's arrived. No one. I read Augustine. I mean, Augustine was amazing. I mean, the clarity Augustine had on some things. And there are other things. Oh, my goodness. Where did he get that from? Spurgeon. You ever heard of that guy? Spurgeon. Man, there are just some sermons, if you just, you're just brought to tears. And then there are some sermons like, what did you have for dinner last night, pal? Because he allegorizes things out. Like, what is it? We're all learners. We're all learners and still learning. And there's going to, personally, you're probably more mature than me in this regard anyway. I don't want to act like I can't learn from people here that I'll worship with there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because we're going to worship with them. You know, no one's going to be in glory. And I love this man, so hear that clearly. Little MacArthurites aren't going to gather over here in heaven. So, did you see those Hillsongers over there? That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen in heaven. And it shouldn't happen here. We can learn from one another. So I know you went into some conversation on that, but for the sake of clarity, is there anything you've heard that's confusing that I could attempt to clarify to you? Is this helpful? Is this like, I don't even know why you're talking about this. Move on, pal. I just don't want to rush away. It's important because, again, the more we're united, the more the calling God has, not for me, not for Chris, not for any one of us, but for our church, the more we're going to flourish in that calling. As it was, Eddie prayed a moment ago. And thank you for praying, Eddie. I learn every time Eddie prays. I may not use every word Eddie uses, but I learn every time Eddie prays. And I'm stirred. Pray fervently like that, God. But the reason it matters that we're united is because of something Eddie prayed, which is that this calling, it means they're sending not just of a couple elders, but of a church. So I love knowing Darren will represent us well in the Ukraine. And Tom and Debbie will see to that. When they get there, they'll represent us well. They'll be a reflection, and Danny will represent us well as he goes down to Redeemer tomorrow for their 5th anniversary, etc., etc. And as others go in the future, the teams go out, and we know, yeah, we're united. I don't want to belabor it, but would you add anything? Stop talking about it. Last piece of this. When Melissa and I moved here, we moved here to build not just a local church, but a region. And that changed. The specificity changed. Who we were doing it with changed. I don't think the calling on Metro changed. We had to hit the brakes. We had to get in the harbor. Right? But the calling hasn't changed. The ship is still made to sail. Thanks for listening. If you do, maybe you'll be driving home, and please talk to us if you've got any questions at all about this. And I don't know. I wish we could get glimpses sometimes. This isn't prophecy, but you just imagine, humor me. Lord in heaven, like, I wish they'd sing that song, I Didn't Want Heaven Without Him, because I really like that song. Just imagine. Just like, Here's my point. Sometimes we can get strung out on something. It's just, God's not strung out on it. I think the disciples came back. We were praying and like healing just happened and this happened and Jesus with a gleam in his eyes, yeah, I saw heaven fall. I saw it fall like lightning. And he's just encouraging them. He said, now remember, rejoice though that your name is written in heaven. Not that the demons obey you. But yeah, man, you did it. You know, he's just these, you know, you wrote that song. You wrote that song for me. Maybe he'll offer a couple edits. But I think in his heart, wow. People declaring in song what he means to them. Let's start with building them up before we tear them down. Let's not assume we're even called to tear them down. Let's lead this by example. He's not here this morning. In all things and essentials, what was it again? Yeah, you remember it. Great. So let's move on. So just the remainder of this time, and then we're going to take this into group session to wrap it up. Between here and there, this last outline, what are we trying to achieve? This is going to be brief. I'm going to refer to community groups as an example. But this isn't just about community groups. This is about the mission of Metro Life overall. Between here and there, what are we trying to achieve? And here is obvious, right? Right now. Where are we as a local church? And then there, what is that preferable, desirable, praying it in future we long to see? The point of this, though, is to not assume that we're all thinking of here from the same starting point. Right? Because if we're going to go there, wherever the there is, you know, we're going to go to Carrabba's for lunch. Okay. Well, how do I get there? If you assume where the here is, the directions you give me may or may not lead me where I need to go. So where's here? And that's what we'll do more when we're in our groups to diagnose that together. And what are we trying to achieve? The point is clarity, not labels. We need to clearly know where we are before assuming the way forward. And I said again, I'm using this as an example, but the point is clarity, not labels. So is it a community group? Is it a life group? Is it a home group? Is it Thrive? Is it Transit? Is it Metro Life Young Adults? Is our mission Love, Grow, Share? Or was that last year? You get the idea, you know, where we can float around in these things. The reason these things matter is to help provide clarity. We need to think about why we do what we do. Because clarity in leadership enables us to move people from where they are to as much as we can discern by the grace of God where we believe we ought to be. Some call that vision, some call that mission. That's fine, as long as we know what we're talking about and why. He's got a game to go coach. God bless Talby team. Go team. So a strategy for going forward. It's like, great, there's another word, strategy. And again, I use this as a case study. What would a goal be? A couple of goals for Metro Life Church. I just put down three quick ones the other day. At least 70% of members in community groups. I just put that down. Now, actually, I'd like to be 100%, but let's start somewhere. Evangelize Castleberry. Okay. Deacons, deaconesses, leading ministry teams. Okay, so let's just imagine those are some goals. Well, how are we going to do that? With what? Now imagine we said, well, we will evangelize Castleberry. Okay, that's a vision, or that's clarity, or that's a goal, or that's mission. But how are we going to do that? We'll go door to door. Okay, there's a strategy. What are you going to do when you get to those doors? We'll walk a person through two ways to live. Okay, there's your tactic. Or you get the idea. It's just an example, but we need to know more than just we'll evangelize Castleberry. Great. Excellent. But how? How are you going to do that? Do we have clarity? And so Some of us work in the business field here. You get this. An organization's strategy, it's simply its plan for success. It's nothing more than the collection of intentional decisions a company makes to give itself the best chance to thrive and differentiate from its competitors. That means every single decision, if it's made intentionally and consistently, will be a part of the overall strategy. So come back to this community group thing. Why did we suggest a name change? It's not about changing the name or just getting something fresh, but what's the vision of those groups, those home groups, those small groups, those community groups? Is it to care for those who are already here? Yes. Is it to equip and build up one another? Yes. But one of the things we discussed a few years back, we recognized is, you know, those are strengths, but our outreach, our evangelism has seemed to be more programmatic. And as culture shifts and moves along, it's less and less that that's how people are responding. That, you know, you stick an alpha sign in the ground and they just show up. Mm-hmm. Things like that. And so community groups, the idea of the name change was to build upon the already strengths there, but to have a mission component, an evangelism component to a community group. That let's not rely on a couple big events per year from the church to be our evangelism, but with the people we do life together with in our community groups, what are the stories? Who's got a name? Who's, you know, where, and we've talked about some of these things in the past where it could be something like, you know, so I've got this neighbor and I've been sharing with them and you've been praying for them. Well, we've now got an opportunity to serve them with this project or whatever. You can imagine, you can fill in the blank. But the idea there was to get a healthy component of an outward focus as a part of our group, not to take away from care and equipping, but to have that heart. If we're going to evangelize Castleberry, we could go door to door. We could walk a person through two ways to live. But we might also look at our community groups and the people who are already there and the relational network they have as a way. Does that make sense? It wasn't to diminish the sense of belonging that the somebody. And she asked if I could share this, and she said it's just her opinion, but, you know, Anna Gelstrom sent me a great email, so encouraging, so many fronts. But she had this question, you know, she wonders if it's just coincidence or something more that when we went from home group to community group that her group diminished in size. I'm not sure personally. I think that's the reason or the source, but what she's trying to get at is I don't want us to lose the family feel. Amen. We don't want to lose the family. But this comes back to that shift idea at times, that as finite people, when we focus on something with intentionality, we're prone to maybe not be as focused. So if the worship team learns 8 new songs, for whatever the reason, someone might soon ask, why don't we do those songs anymore? Is it that we don't do those songs anymore? Or is it that, well, on any given Sunday, if we do 5 songs, unless we worship for... You get where I'm going? Like, so this is the tension we're always in. And it's in your households, families, it's everywhere. It's not just in the church that when you bring emphasis to something, we kind of have to keep... But wait a minute, we do have some other things we want to keep in play here. And so that's always, always taking place. And I think you can get examples like that. And so we want to be clear on, okay, why do we do what we do? Where are we trying to go? And talk around those things. So there's a couple questions here that are intended just to help us think about this. And this is set you up for when we break out after the break. What are we doing? I think that's actually kind of an easy question in that we can just list it. What are we doing? Yeah, you could do that in your head. What are we doing? You know, we feel like as a family, we need to get more clarity. Okay, well, what are we doing right now? We put all this down. We list out everything we do. We've gone through this exercise, by the way. We're probably due to just check it out and freshen up again. We did that. This is actually what shaped our mission statement. Are there clear categories or patterns to what we do that we can group into a couple key areas? And so we just wrote everything down and we just tried to group them around a couple key words. Love, grow, share. So that the stuff we give our time and attention and resources to actually fits our stated mission. And if it doesn't, we got to ask ourselves, why are we doing that? We can't do everything. Why are we doing that which doesn't even... Think about that as a family. I don't know if an example readily comes to mind, but something maybe you realize, you know, we're giving time to this, but it's actually not a part of what we think we should even be doing. We might have to make a change. So we've been working that love, grow, share angle, trying to ensure everything we do as a local church is clearly connected to that. That comes back to that house analogy. It helps us define what we must do, ought to do, and could do. And as parents, you know, I have about 4 texts this morning. You live in this world too. You know, what I think we must and ought do and what my 16-year-old thinks we must and ought do. This was classic. God bless him. Bennett needs to get a ride because we won't be home, so he's not sure he can mow. And I'm following the logic. Like, how long will it take you to figure out a ride? It's like a morning project.
Yeah.
It'll take all morning to figure this out. I don't know if I can mow. So my reply back is, you will mow or don't go. So you work it out, Albert. You can text while you mow if that's what you need to do. But get it done. Just get it done. And it's only getting hotter as you wait. Sun's getting higher, so...
It's time to Uber.
Yeah, Uber the mowing. Yeah, somebody come by and push. But we're like that too sometimes, right? Sometimes we're spending more time on the could-dos than the must-dos as families. It's not that it's bad. It's just we realize, things are not aligned. What is it we're trying to achieve? What do we hope to see in Metro Life Church, in our lives personally? So again, just using as an example, community groups, you know, about half the church, a little less than half the church is in one right now. Now 100% may not be realistic, but 50% is far too low. Now there may have been a time, maybe years ago, where maybe people felt the wrong kind of pressure that you have to be in one or else. But we don't want to lose the vision for people that, you know, if Metro for you is going to be a place you come in and out of a couple Sundays, there's so much you're going to miss. There's so much discipleship, so much equipping, so much fellowship, so much ministry of the Spirit, so much that's not going to happen in your life. And sadly, at times, and this is where my weaknesses pop up, those also become some of the most prominent critiquers of the church. Like, you're not invested at all, but you've got all kinds of critique. God, give me grace to listen, because enough said. Community groups, we believe, are vital for fully orbed Christians at Metro Life Church who are being discipled and discipling, and where personal care is happening, where people are getting connected, where people are serving together, where people are on mission together, etc. Well, something Anna said well is, as if she'd read the notes ahead of time, we've got to show people the beauty of it. So we've got to be in agreement. Or take worship as another example. There is something God preserves, I believe, for when the church is gathered corporately. He uniquely has something of His Spirit to be poured out when God's people gather corporately. And a lot of people don't make the connection that as they stroll in at 10:15 or 10:17 or whatever, that has a whole effect on everybody. Something gets lost in that. And we could go on and on where again, you get the idea where it's not about who gets the perfect attendance award for a community group or who gets the I was always there at 10 a.m. It's so much, those aren't the issues at all. It's so much bigger. It's about what God wants to do in a people. And so we have to talk honestly around those things and figure out, okay, so what are some steps that we take to get there? That's a intentional word for me, because my heart is more like, what leaps do we take to get there? What hops, what bounces, what trampoline us up? And so back to the prayer and expectation. Okay, Lord, just help us to be faithful. If this person goes from here to here, we got to celebrate that. Even if we want to see them here. And by the way, I want to see myself there. So before I've got a log, you know, right? So what steps do we take to get there? So as we break out in a little bit, I want us as community group leaders to talk and worship team to talk. So what are we doing well? What are we excited about? What are we encouraged about where we are right now? Okay, great. Now what do we want to see? And if we want to see that, where might we be deficient? Where can we grow? And other questions like that. But the goal, the point, is clarity. The goal is that we're united around these things so we can convey it. The more of us to convey it, the more people will catch it. That's what we're after. And so after we break, they're just suggested questions. You'll flow much more freely and fruitfully, I'm sure. But just to discuss together, to give us something to take home together. Now, I want to say this before we break, because we're not going to come back together. It's actually, we're ahead of schedule. Hey, what do you know? It's 10:45. Is a half hour enough time?
Yes.
To take care of what you need to. And then community group leaders will be in here and the worship team back out there at 11:15. But we're not going to come back together. Depending on your schedules, the retreat ends or goes through lunch. Depends on your schedules. Thank you for coming. In the three things we're trying to get to, I know there's 90 we didn't get to. Allie, thanks for being my bowling partner. We rocked it. I hope minimally as meaningful fellowship has happened outside of this room and hotel as did in it, and that it's reconnected some people, or it's got people knowing some people in a new way for the first time. When you see her, would you thank Lisa, who just moves about, and this wouldn't surprise any of you, but took it upon herself to personally care for Melissa and I by she ran back up to Castleberry yesterday to get our girls from school and get them back so Melissa could be here, and drove Bennett to work. Apparently took the girls to Chick-fil-A to surprise him at work and found Chick-fil-A flooded and closed. So
and mowed the grass.
She's mowing the lawn right now. Oh, jeez. If she's mowing my grass, Bennett's in trouble. But so she reports that I wouldn't either. He's my son, after all. Did he tell you, or did Lisa tell you, that Chick-fil-A was flooded?
Lisa.
So classic, the classic guy-girl difference. Bennett, I texted him, how was work? Good. Lisa reports there was a flood.
There you go.
How is that the same?
Yeah.
Maybe it was good because he got out early. I don't know. It was good. Classic. So thank you. Thank you 1,000 times over. Let me share one more thing, make it 11:20. Our mission month kicks off next month. Community group leaders, but really all of us, I mean this in a positive way, talk it up. Encourage people. There's so many opportunities before us, so many exciting things. We're going to kick it off. The 7th, 14th, and 21st will be like little vignettes of our mission, a video that Allie's working on for the 21st. Colleen and Devin are sharing on the 7th to talk about our global mission, and we're going to do for them what we did for Rachel last year. We're going to tithe the offering that day. Just whatever God brings in, a tenth of it's going to that mission. They're doing a great work. Spent several hours with them since they've been home. But there's so much. There's so much opportunity. Not to put them on the spot, but I want a future in mission where if Tom and Debbie are going to Ukraine, the church has resources to cover that.
Yeah.
They're doing that on their own accord. that's huge. That's huge. We want them to feel our support. And so many more opportunities like that. So see you at 11:20. God bless your packing. Eric?
Can you audio?